Over the past couple of weeks, I've been asking and answering questions. This morning, I have a couple of them for you. In fact, as I've done this series, I've had people ask me questions. Try this one on. We know that there is an event coming called the rapture. 1 Thessalonians talks about being caught up to be together with the Lord in the air. That is called the rapture. What happens at the rapture with younger children? What happens to them? Think about that. I mean, it's a fairly serious question. What happens with younger children at the rapture? Probably, I'm thinking of maybe 6, 5-year-olds and younger. I'm thinking about that. All right? Think about that. All right? If you're going to answer me, you've got to show me a verse in here that tells me what's going to happen to them. I respect your opinion. But show me the verse in here that tells me what's going to happen. That can make us a little uncomfortable, can't it? Let me try this one. How about this one? Let's get off that one. How about this one? We know that after the rapture, there begins a period of time called the tribulation. It goes for 7 years. We know that. In the tribulation, there are going to be 144,000 Jews that are saved. Tell me, how does that happen? The church is already gone. Believers in Jesus Christ are with the Lord. How do 144,000 people spread the good news about Christ when the church is gone? Show me an answer. Goodness. How about this one? At the end of that time of 7 years called the tribulation, then an event begins called the millennium, and we know that it lasts 1,000 years. Tell me this, at the end of 1,000 years, how come there's a revolt against God and Jesus Christ at the end of 1,000 years? How could that happen? Show me the verse. All right, every now and then I'm going to do this and say, you know what, folks, there are some really difficult questions in God's Word. And we've been talking about prophecy, so I wanted to deal with a couple of prophetical questions that are difficult. How do you answer those questions? We're in a series entitled Left Behind. This is the 5th of 5 weeks. Today we're going to be talking about this. Folks, please answer all my questions. I'm asking you this time. Please answer all my questions. And we're going to be in Daniel chapter 12, and we're going to look at 13 verses. And I decided to end this series in this way because there are people, including myself and you, that have good questions. And they have to do with prophecy. Well, let's answer them all. All right, let me encourage you. You're going to need to open your Bible for this. The blue Bibles, it's on page 636. Open with me to Daniel chapter 12, and let's take a few minutes. And let's talk about this whole subject of questions. Now, you need to know this, that Daniel chapter 12, turn back one page and you'll see in Daniel chapter 10, Daniel's vision of a man. He's in a vision, and what keeps happening here are different things are revealed to him. And so we're just continuing in this long section that Daniel recorded, that the Holy Spirit gave to him for us and for our study today. All right, chapter 12, verse 1. At that time, Michael. Who's Michael? We talked about this about a month or so ago. He is an archangel. Very good. He is an archangel. We talked about this in the series I did called Movie Madness. We talked about the whole area of under Harry Potter. Is Harry Potter real? If you remember that message. And I did that message, and we talked about angels and demons in that particular series, and we found out that there are angels and there are categories of angels. And Michael is one of them. At that time, Michael, the great prince who protects your people, will arise. Daniel, in essence, is saying, man, what's going to happen with my people? Your people, God, the Jews. And this vision is given to him where they say that Michael will somehow, in some way, be a protector of the Jews. You see, during the tribulation period, this is talking about the Antichrist is going to try and wipe out the Jews. That is one of his goals, to do that. There will be a time of distress, such as not happened from the beginning of nations until then. But at that time, your people, everyone whose name is written in the book, will be delivered. And so he says it's going to be a time of great distress. Michael will intercede, but we also know that many, many, many people will perish during that time called the Great Tribulation. Those who perish, and it's referring to that in verse 2, multitudes who sleep in the dust of the earth will awake, some to everlasting life, others to shame and everlasting contempt. So many, many people are going to be killed during the latter half of what we're calling the Great Tribulation, including Jews and Gentiles. And at the end of that time, they will be resurrected, either to life with God or to be separated from Him. Those who are wise, verse 3, will shine like the brightness of the heavens, and those who lead many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. There are going to be those that go through this time, especially Jews, that hang on to the promises of God, that know that this 7-year period of time will come to an end, and that they will be with Him. And they hang on to that hope, and they tell others during this time that they need to trust Christ and come to a faith in Him, and it is difficult. And it talks about it here as those who share will shine like stars forever and ever. Verse 4, but you, Daniel, close up and seal the words of the scroll until the time of the end. Many will go here and there to increase knowledge. And just a little word to Daniel here, that many will go here and there to increase knowledge. I've seen this verse used in a number of different ways, that people will go to this verse and say, you know what, we're getting close to the end times because our knowledge has increased. And that is clearly true, isn't it? Through the internet, through all of those things. It's amazing how our knowledge has increased. But that verse, I don't think, refers to that at all. It refers to the knowledge of the book of Daniel. And people are going to want to know answers during that great tribulation time from this book. I think that's what it refers to, and not just knowledge in general. One of the other things you need to know is that in Matthew chapter 12, verse 1, do you know that Jesus Christ quotes this verse in the New Testament? Not exactly, but close to it. One of the things I wanted to show you in Matthew 24, 21, Jesus is quoting Daniel 12, 1. He says, for there will be great distress unequaled from the beginning of the world until now, and never to be equaled again. One of the amazing things about God's Word is the unity that it has. And one of the proofs that we can look at as God's people is that Jesus Christ Himself quoted the Old Testament, thereby giving it credibility. He does this in a number of places, especially in the Gospel. All right, that's a little introduction, those first four verses. Here's where we're going now. On your outline, two questions are now going to be asked. All right, Daniel is going to receive some information. Now, two questions are going to be asked, and let's look at that in verse 5. Then I, Daniel, looked, and there before me stood two others, one on one bank of the river and one on the opposite bank. Okay, so here's what we have now, is Daniel now sees something. He sees a river, and many people feel it's a Tigris River. There's a river, and on one side there's an individual, and on the other side there's an individual. That's just verse 5. Look now at verse 6. One of them said to the man clothed in linen, who was above the waters of the river, how long will it be before these astonishing things are fulfilled? You've got one person on one side of the river, another on the other, and then there's somebody clothed in white linen above the river. And that is exactly what he is seeing. And so what does he do? Ask the question. What's the question in verse 6? How long will it be before these astonishing things are fulfilled? They ask these questions. Now, let me just restate that particular question as you look at it here and putting the context together. How long will this time of trouble last is really the idea we are talking about. How long will this time of trouble last? And I'm going to say that what he is talking about in context here is the Great Tribulation. How long will this time of trouble last? And let me do verse 7. the man clothed in linen, who was above the waters of the river, lifted up his right hand and his left hand toward heaven, and I heard him swear by him who lives forever, saying, it will be for a time, times, and half a time, when the power of the holy people has been finally broken and all these things will be completed. All right, so what he does is, in the Old Testament, you would make an oath, and he raises his hands and he says, it will be for time, times, and half a time. Well, that's an interesting answer, isn't it? Thinking, what in the world are we going to do with that one? All right, so the first question, let's bring it back up again, number one, and we'll get this. It says this, how long will the time last? That is question number one. And what we see in question number one is there's an answer given. Is there not? There is an answer given to this question. And it is this. On your outline, write down, this is an interesting, weird phrase, and you're going to see it all over the Bible in places. For a time, singular, times, plural, and half a time. Write that down. You'll find that in the book of Revelation. You'll find that in the book of Daniel. And it comes out. Now, how long is that? Let me first of all just tell you how long it is and then give you an idea of how we determine what a time, times, and half a time is. All right, on your outline, which is 3 1/2 years. Okay? Write that down. Which is 3 1/2 years. Now, every time I do something with my fingers in math, I have a problem. All right. A time represents 1 year. Times would then represent 2 years. And how much would half a time be? Half a year. Thank you. That's helping me out with the math. So if you add all three of those together, you get 3 1/2 years. And this is important. You need to know that and understand that. Now, you know what? The answer is not specifically given here, but now we're going to go to the book of Revelation. Here is the proof of how long this is. So if we can look, first of all, at Revelation chapter 12 and verse 14. Revelation 11 and 12 are parallel passages to this. You have to understand that they are parallel passages. And we get we first of all establish this phrase in the New Testament. The woman was given the two wings of a great eagle so that she might fly to the place prepared for her in the desert, where she would be taken care of for what? Time, times, and half a time out of the serpent's reach. Okay? Now, we see the phrase in Revelation chapter 12. Now, look with me at Revelation chapter 11. And we're going to get how long this period of time is given to us in months. Again, parallel passage. And that's important. But exclude the outer courts. Do not measure it because it has been given to the Gentiles. The Antichrist, others, they will trample on the holy city for what? 42 months, which is how long? 3 1/2 years. That's where you get one evidence of it. All right, go to the next verse, which you need to write down these references. I haven't provided them for you. Revelation 12:6. Now we're going to get it in expressed in days. So you can see this number does have backing from the book of Revelation. The woman fled into the desert to a place prepared for her by God where she was taken care of for 1260 days. Do the math, it's 3 1/2 years. That's where we get that number from, and that's how we explain time, times, and half a time. You have to have Revelation with this to help us understand that, and it fits perfectly well with what we've been talking about the last couple of weeks. If you'll bring up Daniel 9:27. What we see is these passages all coming together. He will confirm a covenant, the Antichrist, with many for the 1-7. 1-7 represents 7 years. We talked about this a couple weeks ago. In the what? The middle of the 7, he will put an end to sacrifice and offering. That is what we're talking about. This event where he stops at until the end is 3 1/2 years. We call that part of the tribulation, the great tribulation. Look at Daniel chapter 7, verse 25. Here we're talking about the Antichrist. And here's the phrase again. He will speak against the Most High and oppress His saints and try to change the set times and the laws. The saints will be handed over to Him for what? Time, times, and half a time. And so we see all of these passages coming together. Believe me, in some of the courses that I've had to take and study this subject, you spend hours here trying to understand this. God's Word has given us the information. He's not put it all necessarily in chronological order, and you have to understand the book of Daniel in order to understand the book of Revelation. They fit together in God's Word. Here's what He's saying. The time of outrageous persecution will begin. The Antichrist will break His covenant for the last 3.5 years. Now see, we know that. Daniel, when he received this vision, folks, most of what we've talked about in the book of Daniel, he never saw any of this. What are we, 2,500 years from this? Daniel really, I believe, had no idea what was going on. He did have wisdom and he did have the Holy Spirit. But looking at some of these things, I'm sure he wondered about them. All right, question number one, what happened? It was asked, it was answered. Let's look at question number two now. Question number two begins now in verse 8. So Daniel's saying this, I heard, but I did not understand. Now, is that an understatement? I've tried to explain this to you in just a couple of minutes, and let me just share with you, it has just taken me years to understand this, and there's just no way in a couple of minutes you can do this. Daniel hears this information, raises his hand and says, wait a minute. So I ask, my Lord, what will be the outcome of all this? So what he's asking is he's saying at the end of this 3.5 years called the Great Tribulation, what happens after that? Could you tell me, please? And he's talking to that person in that vision. All right? Verse 8, he just says, will you tell me more? Which leads me to the, on your outline, second question, folks. Second question is this, the essence of it, would you please tell me more? I want to know more about this. I want to know what the future is. And what we're going to do now in verses 8, well, we just read 8, 9 through 13, let's see the answer to that question. Verse 9 says this, he replied, go your way, Daniel, because the words are closed up and sealed until the time of the end. Did he answer that question? Folks, he did not answer that question. One of the reasons I'm doing this passage is for that point. This is very important to understand. He didn't answer that question. He could have. He could have chosen to do that. But he didn't. He did not answer that question. On your outline, write this down. This is important. The question is not answered. The second question is not answered. Here is the title of my message. And I've had 3 or 4 or 5 people come to me and say, what are you doing? And I said, look, folks, this is the point of my message. Is God going to answer all of our questions? And can you see from this? Some He has. Others He's not. Some of those questions that you may have struggled with, that I started with, I'm going to come back to those at the end. But let me be real honest with you. I think there's some good evidence for those questions, but bottom line, we don't know some of those things. And that makes me feel a little uncomfortable, especially about the first question. It really does. But you need to understand, we're not going to have every answer to every question. Well, what does he do then? What he's going to do now in verse 10, 11, 12, and 13, he's going to give us some information. So let's just look quickly what the some information is and wrap this up. Verse 10, many will be purified, made spotless, and refined. But the wicked will continue to be wicked. None of the wicked will understand, but those who are wise will understand. All right, he's saying during this tribulation time, the wicked are going to be incredibly wicked. It's going to be an awful time and a terrible time, and it's going to try the saints. Those who know Christ are going to be persecuted. It's going to be a difficult time. So, on your outline, if you'll look at where it's talking about this, it says this. He says the tribulation will try the saints. That we know from verse 10. He's not going to completely answer this, but he tells us that in verse 10. Verse 11, from the time that the daily sacrifice is abolished and the abomination that causes desolation is set up, there will be 1,290 days. Well, we know from that verse, in verse 11, that the tribulation contains the abomination of desolation. We talked about that a couple of weeks ago and went through that. All right, so on your outline, here's another statement that is made that we can know. But he's not answering the complete question. The tribulation will contain the abomination of desolation. Verse 12, blessed is the one who waits for and reaches the end of the 1,335 days. As for you, Daniel, go your way till the end. You will rest, and then at the end of your days you will rise to receive your allotted inheritance. Then he makes a little statement to Daniel at the end, and he says, Daniel, keep serving me, go your way, do your thing, and you, Daniel, will be resurrected in the future. Immediately when you die, you go to be with the Lord. But it does talk about a resurrection also. And we see that also in 1 Thessalonians. All right. This is what he does with that second question. This is how God in his wisdom answers that. Now we've got a problem, don't we? We've got 1,260 days in one verse. We've got 1,290 days in another verse. And we have 1,335 days. What is going on with all these numbers? Well, there is a number of explanations for this. The 1260 could be based on one particular calendar. There are different calendars. The 1290 could be based on another calendar. Our calendar is 365 days. Some of the other calendars were shorter calendars than these. That is a good explanation for why we have some of the difference there. Why 1,335 days? This is very interesting. And in terms of the period of the Great Tribulation will end. The next event, as we've talked about, is called the millennium. Does the millennium necessarily begin the very next day? And no, it doesn't have to. Let me give you a case in point. When Christ came, Christ died for sins. That was called, if you will, I'm going to use a term here, the dispensation of law. At that point, did the next dispensation of God's grace, the church age, begin immediately? No, it did not. In fact, we studied this in our small group I have on Wednesday night. About 40 days, if I remember, from the end of the cross to the day of Pentecost. God does not necessarily have to begin the next major event of history right away. And that probably is a good explanation for the difference between the days 1335 and 1290. There could just be a delay of time. God could have chosen not to have that, but according to his word, he will. And that you get some interesting things that you deal with when you talk about these days and dates. All right. Let me try and restate everything I've said this morning. The key of everything that we have studied this morning is in verse 9. The key is in verse 9. You'll see this on your outline. The phrase is what? Go your way. That is the answer that he gave to Daniel. Go your way. He did not specifically answer what's going to happen next. He chose not to. He said, go your way. And what does that mean on your outline? Which means this. We can know some things about prophecy, folks, but not everything. And don't drive yourself nutty trying to find out everything. You can know certain things, and God in his wisdom has revealed certain things to us. Go your way. Be about your work. Be about your business in your life. Be about my work and my business is the idea of what the phrase is, go your way, means. That's exactly what he told Daniel to do at that point. Which leads me to say this. So, you've studied prophecy. Folks, we've done this for 5 weeks. Good. You've studied prophecy. Good. Now, back to the Great Commission. We have studied this subject And there is value in that. And we need to do that. But in the Bible itself, it said, go your own way. And as we look at a New Testament application, it's back to doing what we're supposed to be doing. Some people spend so much time in prophecy and get so wound up over this that they're doing nothing positive for the claim of Christ. You know what? There are different kind of believers. There are believers that typify this bucket. What do you do with a bucket? You put things into it, right? You put things into it. Some believers are like this. All you do for your life is you just put stuff in, put stuff in, put stuff in. And what we get are fat believers that aren't doing anything for Christ. In this passage, it said, go your way. Do your things for me. Do your work for me. Are you a bucket believer? Or, watch out, and this is how I can get you guys. What is this? It's a pipe, PVC pipe. This is the remains of my sprinkler project. I'm a little short. I don't know. No, I'm kidding. Are you a believer that typifies this pipe where you take information from God and His Word into your life and you channel it to someone else? Are you a bucket or are you a pipe? You see, what we need in the body of Christ are pipes. People that take what they learn, what they understand, and put it into practice. Amen? That's what we need to have. And I can illustrate it no better than this. The difference between a pipe and a bucket. Prophecy is good. We will study it at times. But at the end of studying it, go back now. Don't be only a bucket for Christ. Just gets filled up, filled up, filled up, filled up, and never gives back, gives out, or goes. Don't be a bucket for Christ. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You for this series. I have been stretched and challenged in trying to take the truth of Your Word and apply it to our lives. Lord, I thank You so much for Daniel. He asked a question, You answered it. Great. But then he asked another one and You didn't. And You told him to go on. Help us to be believers that have a foundation and are growing in Your Word, but are also sharing and giving out Your Word. Thank You that we can give to You and we do that gratefully. We do that because we love You, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.